Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today, we consider peace. And this is becoming a stranger and stranger concept in the world today. We are, after all, in a country that's just celebrated its birthday, its Day of Independence, that is in a state of war. But that is hard to remember most of the time. There is no immediacy of that. And that is part of a strategy to be able to keep us at war without really noticing. Keep us unconscious in a lot of ways, or unconsciously supportive, by hiding the costs of war, by hiding our level of participation in violence, in death, in killings, explosions, maimings, a part in great upheaval in the world. So it may be hard for us to even have a concept, in an outward sense, peace, something our world, at least, as a whole, has never had at any given moment. There have always been places on this planet where genocide, horrible crimes, crimes against humanity in general, against humanness, against human souls, are always being perpetuated. And yet, isolated as we are in our country, it has just celebrated its beginnings, we don't usually notice. If we do, it's for a very brief time. War used to be a much more personal affair. It impacted us directly. It didn't impact us through the economy or through the removal of civil liberties. It used to be a matter of imminent violence to yourself and your family. Imminent destruction of your personal property. Loss of everything, including your freedom. Back time, most of these scriptures in our Gnostic tradition were written. These were always times of great wars and oppressions. Even the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, was a fairly oppressive peace. And it wasn't a non-violent peace by any means. So look at peace for human beings generally. Mostly it meant being left alone. Being allowed to live without these larger forces one can never really quite understand coming through, destroying everything that you have, destroying your world, essentially, your little corner of this planet, your little piece of this cosmos. And perhaps coming back again and again and again. 100 years of war was called that for a reason, lasted that long. A number of other wars have gone on for very long times, been very bloody and brutal. But life goes on. Maybe not for everybody by any means, maybe not in all places, but even in the midst of conflict and wars, there is life. There's new life being born, children growing up. Fortunately, in many of these situations, children growing up to perpetuate the conflict, perpetuate the war, to wait for some historical conflict to finally reach a point where it ignites again and people start killing each other again. This happens in many places in the world. We can only look at the depths of history to see why people like Serbs and Croats fought each other so vehemently. They were living a historical story. They were living lives of war and of conflict that perhaps at the moment weren't an actual armed, violent conflict, actually seeking each other's lives. But, given the right circumstances, it ignited easily. They were at war without taking up arms. Circumstances changed, they took up arms. They fought each other, killed each other. See this in many different places in the world. The ones that aren't fighting now are being held apart, perhaps by peacekeeping troops or some larger power. Perhaps they're just in a historical phase where nobody is using that war for their own political advantage, aren't bringing themselves forward as the war leader and reigniting the flame. See, this says, you know, World War II was just a continuation of World War I. There was no peace after that, not for many people who then made it their task to take over that war, you know, just quiet for a moment, and bring it back to full flame. So peace isn't merely the absence of shooting at each other. It isn't the absence of violently taking action against each other. It's an absence of conflict, of even wanting to do so. As human beings, putting our identities, identifying with something that is at war, identifying with a war, means that we are at war. And we are perhaps not combatants at the moment, and perhaps in that particular war no one is. But we are living in war. And also as participants in this world, our country, things that are supposed to be a part of our culture, the institutions that we are a part of, however remotely, may be at war. So we are at war in a different way. We are participating in some way in that war. So just as one be explicit about it rather than unconscious of it. Take a stand. If you're going to be at war, be conscious of it. However, the best response is to be at peace. And this is something only individuals can accomplish. Peace. To not only not participate actively, violently, not only support economically, politically, war, but to withdraw from that all. To not participate on an inner level. Not participate psychologically. Not identify with any aspects of war. Not be patriotic in a way that glorifies war. Be patriotic in many ways. Be very thankful for this country that has just celebrated an anniversary. For the freedom of religion, which is unique still in this world. So many, many ways. Other countries are tolerant to a large extent now, but by no means most of them. And to really have this kind of freedom, we don't need state approval or official toleration, is really nice. Have a country that has its values in freedom and liberty, no matter how compartmentalized those have been over the years, is better than having one that doesn't, that is actively engaged in oppression, that isn't ever shamefaced about it, doesn't ever reverse that movement towards oppression and domination. We at least have these ideals that occasionally come on the stage and act. And we can have patriotism, a love of that heritage, without supporting everything our country does, because let's face it, what is a country? What is a government? It's people. What are most of the things that most people do most of the time? Well, to put it politely, they're pretty stupid most of the time. Most everything we do is fairly stupid, you know. If you haven't made a mistake in the last 24 hours, you haven't been paying attention, or are a little too proud to admit it. But most of what we do, a lot of mistakes, misjudgments, just plain things we don't know why we're doing it particularly, or we think we're doing something that's the opposite of what we're really doing. So, blind obedience to an archon of a country for a Gnostic is bad. It's willful ignorance. It is the closest thing we have to dastardly sin. So, we don't have to denigrate or deny the great cultural traditions that we have, the great traditions of country when they're good, any more than we should ever deny the traditions and stuff that are bad. But it is our alignment with that that is our main concern. It's what we can easily change and affect now. And if we are enmeshed in our culture, unconsciously participating in any of these things, whether it be for or against the current war, for or against anything, we're not participating mindfully, consciously, then we're not really doing anything all that worthwhile. Good may eventually come of it, but it's not really from our actions. We're not really acting. We're being passive, participating in a very passive way. To bring in peace, we must see beyond all of the stages, all of the levels, all of these understandings of things like country, history, identity, And that ultimately leads us to the highest transcendence, to God, to God as peace. We live in a world that will always be fraught with violence, always be in a state of turmoil, because there are so many humans. You reduce the human population to 12 or so, then they could spread out, perhaps, and you wouldn't have nearly so many murders per capita as you have now, but let's face it, you're not changing human nature just by progress, this blind progress that we've, as human beings, have had so much faith in recent decades and centuries. So, to really reach peace is to aim towards God, to turn our attention towards the transcendent divinity. And if we have a relationship with God, then we are not so attached to everything around us. Because that relationship, by its very nature, takes us beyond the current conflicts, current identities. We are in a deep, felt relationship with God, aligned with God. We are not worried so much about our identity here, about what the neighbors will think, about trying to be a part of this or a part of that, not trying to lose ourselves in the many options we're doing so in the world. We're also not trying to fool ourselves in the many more options we're doing so in the world. We seek that peace which passeth all understanding, as the scriptures tell us, and we are transcending beyond every system of this cosmos to our true nature, our true state of being, our true home. It doesn't mean that we withdraw from all participation in the world around us, but we are freed from it, no longer chained to it. Before we find this peace, this transcendent perspective, we may think we're not chained. We think that we are consciously carrying out work, doing good. They even think that we're saving the world. Having such an inflated thought as a regular visitor in your brain is a sure sign that you're chained. Because nobody, no human being saves the world, changes the world. Those that we think of as being these movers and shakers were not alone. In so many ways, they were carriers of something that wasn't here on earth, wasn't just in other people, but something transcendent. Those who were able to articulate, to be a voice for movement, to break through the barriers of the world, are bringing that in from beyond the world. They're doing so from a place of peace within themselves, from a relationship with God. You do not have a Martin Luther King or a Gandhi who just happen to be charismatic folks with a good idea of how to have a good strategy to get people to become aware of a problem. It's linking people to that transcendent freedom beyond the problem, beyond the situation. If you can show them that path, then they have a chance of actually addressing the problem because they are freed from it. As long as we are a part of some oppositional structure, as long as we are part of the system, we're stuck there. We're chained there. We're fighting within that system. If we pick one side of a conflict, we need the other side to be there, or we don't know what we're doing. We're not really geared to any kind of resolution. We want to win. We want to win under fantasy circumstances, to win in a way in which the other side will say, "Oh, you great, mighty people who have won," or some other stupid, make-believe circumstance. Nobody's going to do that. People pick a side and identify with the side they're going to keep fighting until the end of time, until they all die out. There's no way to win that. As Martin Luther King famously wrote, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." It isn't by engaging in the system as a part of the system that we really enact change. By freeing ourselves first and foremost, and then aiding in what way that we can as an example for others to become free. See this from a more transcendent perspective. And only then might we see our way to doing something for real, instead of the endless shadow boxing we are otherwise involved in. And it starts within ourselves. And it starts with a relationship. relationship within ourselves to the divine, to the transcendent, to the presence of the divine. We have always called God. Sometimes we call an idea God as well, but Gnostics have always been smarter than that. They think the idea, the image, is some lesser thing that we've created, or is kind of a flaw in the system. That they call it the demiurge, the craftsman, the half-maker. Whereas the real God is transcendent, above, beyond our control, beyond our ability to encapsulate in our mind. And when we encounter it, we know that this experience is real, this relationship is real, and we gain gnosis from that. And that gnosis is what will free us from every system, every situation we find ourselves in, is to have that transcendent understanding, to act from that, to be certain of that. And we can then pass through. No guarantee that we're not going to get ourselves cut down once we free ourselves. It's never any guarantee. So lesson for today speaks of those who seem to suffer, but are at peace. When you free yourself, you reach that point of liberation. You're free from a lot of things, a lot of considerations. This need for a particular form to be a part of the system, this egotistical identification with things. And what others think they might be doing and killing you or punishing you might be, they think they're winning. But when you've freed yourself from the system, they can never win. They aren't free. It's the only way, in a larger sense, to win, is to be free. The gospel for today is from Thomas. It's the shorter version of the man whose soul is required of him, the foolish farmer. In the short version, Jesus just says, there was a man who thought one day, I'll take my money, I'll plant a bunch of crops, I'll harvest it, I'll put it all in my storehouses, and then I'll lack nothing. And then he died. Well, it's kind of a weird story. If you don't think of the experience of it, then it doesn't make any sense. But if this is a person you know, and you know people like that, of course we're never people like that, except for when we're not looking, who worry a lot, who plan a lot, who strategize, who come up with plans. They're trying to make their life here more comfortable, perhaps to never need anything, right? I mean, that's kind of the ultimate goal. You want to have enough money that you don't have to worry about lack, about needing food or medicine or whatever. Increasingly impossible task in our world today. And you might spend all of your time in this kind of a conflict, this kind of a war, strategizing against the forces of the world, so finally you have enough, and you're insulated, you're free from the need of the world. But in seeking that on that level, you're a prisoner. You're in that system. You're fighting for that against all the forces of the world, against your own mortality, and you're going to lose. Way to attain freedom, to not feel that need so strongly that it rules your life, is to transcend it, to seek real spiritual growth, spiritual life, relationship to God, to move beyond and above all the systems we're tied up into. So we aren't following the example of this farmer who has his big plans. And we're not given details, but you can rest assured that this is a story that could have taken much longer to tell and probably did, and we have just the little summing up that people remembered, wrote down. This person could add very complex plans, how to make more, how to get more money, then be safe. And then the version that is in the canonical scriptures, that's a little bit longer. This person is thinking of building new storehouses, of lending money at interest. Got his small business plan all worked out, got his way forward, but then he dies. There is no defense against the forces of the world that's going to ever ultimately win. Nothing else. Eventually, you'll wear out and die. Nothing kills you before then. That's why people die of things like Alzheimer's and stuff today, just because they're dying from other things first. The system breaks down. It all ends. So worrying too much about that is a trap. Just as being involved in any other kind of a war is a trap. Mundane say, do not trust and the rulers or the rebels of the world. Transcend. Be beyond that. Be free of that. And then you can walk through the conflicts of the world. And you may suffer from them, but you will be free. And beyond all of the suffering, you found that peace and you know that is there. You have gnosis of it. It is a part of your very being, revealed, growing. And you know, past all of this, there is that divine other whom you have a relationship with, who loves you completely, and is waiting the deepest anticipation to welcome you back. So may the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you would like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.